Well, one more time, over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able. And we'll go ahead and read these out loud together, these several verses, beginning in verse 14 through the end of the chapter there, and verse 26. So beginning together in verse 14, the Bible says, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." So, just to review just a little bit, and not in completion, because I'm not going to re-preach four messages tonight to kind of culminate things, but I do hope that you've kind of gained the sense of this. You say, "Well, Pastor, we haven't been here for all of the messages." No, but they're on Facebook, okay? And you can go look at them. And our illustrious, I don't know why I'm stuck in that word. That's the second time I've used that today. Brother Dart, did you look it up this afternoon to find out what that means? Not yet, okay? our wonderful sound man back there, he also does audio files and works on those and kind of edits them and produces them for us. So if you just want to sit and listen to these messages, you can. But to be quick, we talked about our lives in more than just studying those things, more than just saying, "Well, I'm going to read this and I'm going to look up this word and I'm going to find this thing and do that thing with it and such and so forth." But it had more to do with our preparation, our heart, our mind, our readiness and the ability to be able to consume these truths and these things. And if you will, as the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we talked about preparation. We talked about anticipation and action. What are we going to do with what we study? We also talked about our attitude, our discernment, and our understanding of those things to study. We also talked about the nuts and bolts of it last week. How in observation we were to observe the Word of God. Pay attention to it. More than just look at the letters in black print on a white page. All right? And things like that. We talked about reading. We talked about searching the Scriptures and finding the context and the history. Looking at the author and the intended recipient, paying attention to the manners and customs of the times. And one thing that I failed to mention, but was something I intended to mention, was if you don't know what a word means, look it up. And even if you think you know what a word means, look it up, because you may not know the full extent of that word. Yeah, trust me. Okay, you're. A dictionary is a great tool. And even better, an online dictionary is a great tool. Okay, but you understand that these are things that are important. We talked about rightly dividing the word of truth and making sure that we divide it correctly according to language, to grammar, historical situations, sociological situations, geographical situations, cultural situations, according to theological questions about God, about man, sin, salvation, separation, church, family, civilization, behavior, philosophy, and doctrine. All those things pertain. We need to know where things are coming from and how they apply to our lives. And that was the last thing we talked about last week, was the actual application. You know, the Bible's of no private interpretation, but it does have many applications. You can take one portion of Scripture and apply it to several different type circumstances. That doesn't change what God said. We just are going to use it. For instance, I can take a screwdriver and I can use it for lots of different things. I can. And so we need to make sure that we are obviously correctly deciding what God is saying, and then saying, God, how can I use this in my life? What ways can I accomplish these things in my life? So that was the quick recap there of our so far our study of studying. Okay, and that's if you want to call it that, you certainly can. Because we have been taking this apart quite intently. If you look at these things that are said here in 2 Timothy in the text. In verse 14, it says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You understand that we need to, when we talk about studying the Word of God, when we talk about reading the Word of God, when we talk about rightly dividing the Word of God, we need to kind of ask the question, why? Not why did God say this, but why am I studying this? Are you trying to find some new doctrine? Are you trying to undermine the church of the living God? Are you trying to say, well, you know, I'm just not sure if those preachers are telling us straight. You know, they've been keeping us in oppression all these years. You need to be careful about things like that. What is the purpose? You see, because I think that a good purpose is, God, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say to me? What is it that you want me to learn? What is it that you want me to grow a knowledge of, and why? What's the purpose of it? Is it just to be smart? You know, so when you get in a crowd of other people that go to church, you say, wow, that guy, no, man, he knows his stuff. Look at him. He's throwing out $50 college words left and right here. Just, man, what? I don't even know what he's saying, but it sounds good. Is that the reason? I remember when I went to Bible college, I had grown up in church. I had been in church, but not this kind of church my whole life. And I got in as a freshman. I had been in the military. I had lived on my own. I was, you know, that quote unquote self-made man type thing, if you will, in a way. And I get into theology 101, you know, basic theology class. And they hand me this book. And the professor's up there, and he's just a short little guy and just full of fire and vigor and all that stuff. And he opens his mouth and he starts speaking, and I do not understand half of the words he's saying. I have never heard of such things before. And this stuff is just flying over my head just like this. I had no clue. And I opened this textbook, you know, and talking about all these different things. And I'm like, okay, that's great, you know. But so we do need to learn. We do need to grow. And it come along. But to what end? And to what purpose? You see, because If I'm going to spend my time doing something, it needs to be purposeful. It needs to have an end. It's not just a means to an end. It's not just something we do just to, well, God says study to show us. All right, I'll just study. Well, why? Really search it out and find out why. And we need to put a purpose to it. One of the reasons that we need to study and to make it purposeful is what is said in John chapter 20. It says this, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's a good reason to study. You know, there are many false doctrines out there about salvation. There are many false churches out there that will say, well, this is the way to heaven, or this is the way to heaven, or this is the way to heaven, or this is the way to heaven. And you know what? I tell you, as maybe Paul would tell you if he were able to be standing here today, he would say, look, study. Find out what salvation is. We're going to tell you this is the way, but you need to know it for sure. You need to find out why it is what it is. Let me just give an example. When we find salvation, the things that we previously thought were salvation melt away, don't they? They melt away. And it comes to light the deception and the lies and the trickery and the oppression of those false salvations, those false Jesuses that are out there, those false churches. Why? Because we found something that was real. We found something that God says is true. It has purpose. In 1 John chapter 5, it says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now these are some of my favorite verses. Because it does away with 99.9% of the world's religions. I mean, it just eliminates them. It gets rid of all the nonsense, and it gives proof to the purpose of studying to know these things, and these things certainly about eternal life. He says this. I lost my spot. There it is. He that hath the Son hath life. That's pretty easy. I don't have to know a lot of English to understand that. I don't have to do a lot of studying to figure that one out. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's pretty simple. I don't see anything in there about church membership. I don't see anything in there about baptism. I don't see anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or this thing or that thing, or speaking in tongues, or being able to heal people. And I don't see anything about good works. I don't see anything about praying to any other individual or being. I don't see anything about anything else. I don't see anything mentioned about any other God or any other gods or any other creatures or graven images or anything else. This is so simplistic. It's just right out there. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. This also gets rid of all those people that say, well, we'll find out one day whether or not we're going to be in heaven. I'm sorry. That's not how it is. We know now whether or not we're going to heaven. Because it's a record. It's written down. It's recorded. Oh, it gets better. It says here that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son. We have permission. That's one of the things I learned in English class. Can I go to the bathroom? I sure hope so. Can is ability. If you don't, you've got bigger problems than I know what to do with. You guys like that, don't you? Okay, all right. May I go to the bathroom? That's permission. Permission. We may believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know these things. And this is the confidence that we have in a church, in a culture, in a tradition, in a religion. No. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Folks, that's straightforward. There's a purpose to study. The reason we study is so that we can know some things. They're concrete, not abstract. They are solid, not wavering. We know that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We know that a fool builds his house on a foundation of sand instead of the rock. We need to know some things. Why do you study? Because I want to know. And I want to know Him. And I want to know His salvation. And I want to know and have this confidence. Not that I might go to heaven, but that I'm on my way there. Even now. I'm a sojourner here, not a citizen of this country anymore. I'm not. Salvation is ours. The purpose of studying is so that we can know some things. We can be confident. We can be rock solid. We can be a beacon of light. And we can stand here for a surety and say, I know this is true. Not, we hope this is true. Or we're banking on it. Well, like I told you about talking to people that are atheists or agnostics. I love talking to those people. Because I always like to listen to what they have to say, which is just fine. And I always look at them when we're done and I say this. You know what? According to you, if you're right, we're all just fine. I'm fine. You're fine. Your neighbor's fine. The people in Africa are fine. The penguins in Antarctica are fine. You know, we're all fine. But if I'm right, you're in a heap of trouble. And their eyes always get about this big when I say that. And suddenly they have nothing else to say. It's quite amazing. Because that thought never hit them. Because what does it matter what I believe if they're right? And does it matter if I believe it? No. Because according to them, we're just all going to die and turn to dust and dirt anyways. It makes no difference. But if I'm right, there's a holy, holy, holy God that they have to answer to. And if you will, and just for a comment, there's hell to pay. There is. And it's a real condemnation. And it's a real problem. That's why we need to study. It has a purpose. So that we know. Not only that, it's so that we have the hope that endures to the end. It says, when we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. And not to please ourselves, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Well, why are these here? Oh, just to read. They're here to bind us and to be a ball and chain and hold us back in the pursuits of life. No. No. I believe it just said that they are written to make, so that we could have hope. Comfort. And hope. You know, the more we study this book, the more hope we have in God. The more consolation and comfort we have in Christ. He says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Folks, we need to know some things. We need to read the scriptures and study the scriptures so that we can have hope in what God has promised and given to us. Another purpose for studying is to know what example to follow and what example to avoid. You know, all throughout the scriptures, there are things written for our admonition and learning so that we know what to do. How many of you just were born knowing what to do? As far as I know, babies can only do a few things. They automatically know what to do. And we won't mention them. You know that throughout their life, growing up, they have to learn what to do. And you know how they learn most of what to do? By example. By seeing, hearing, touching. And guess what? My poor children had to learn from me. Thankfully, they had my wife to look to for a good example. So they had both, and they had the good example and a bad example, so they know what to do and what not to do. The scriptures are our example. They're for our learning. And it's a reason to study. It's a purpose for study, is to see the examples that are given in scriptures for us. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the church in Corinth, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat all the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after these things, should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters. And some, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. It's for our example. The purpose of study. You say, all right, I'm going to look at all these things that you mentioned last week, and I'm going to rightly divide the word of truth. I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to observe these things and look at the context. But to what end and to what purpose? I'm going to find salvation. I'm going to know some things about God and about what how He is and how He works. And I want to just know Him more. That's why I'm going to study. There's a purpose to it. Or I'm going to look for and to the Scriptures for the hope and for the comfort and for the consolation in Christ that I can live a peaceable life as I ought to. You know, God doesn't want us in turmoil. He wants us in peace, in tune with the Holy Ghost of God. You know, it's a peace that passes all understanding. But it doesn't hurt to understand, does it? It doesn't hurt to study and have a purpose to study. And for our example, here's one more about this. Another purpose to study. And again, I could go on and on, I suppose. But we need to study to find out and make sure of what is truth. What is it? Because here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this is truth. And next door, they're going to tell you something is truth. And down the street over here, they're going to tell you something is truth. And across the way over there, they're going to tell you this is truth. And in this city, and in that city, and in this state, and in that country, and across the world, they're going to tell you this is truth, this is truth, this is truth, this is truth, this is truth. But what is truth? How do we find truth? Well, I'm going to tell you that this is where truth is contained. But let me tell you something a little further than that. Jesus said in three different places in the book of John, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. In John 15, he said this in three consecutive chapters, by the way. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And in John 16, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. I like this one because I need some help with this when I study. And when I develop my purpose to study, it says here that he will guide you into all truth. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to decide what is truth. Because guess what? I could be wrong. You understand? I could be wrong. But you know who's not wrong? God's not wrong. And you know who knows exactly what truth is? God does. And so, by faith, again, this is by faith, I have believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as my Savior. And the Bible tells me that upon that belief, and upon that acceptance of Christ, I receive the Spirit of truth. He indwells me, and He lives in me. And if I will yield myself to Him, He will guide me into all truth. He will lead me. He will bring me into remembrance. He will say, hey, this is truth, that is not. Because last I checked, God doesn't want me going through life confused. And yes, I meant to say it that way. And next time I'll be Atlantic instead of Pacific. Okay. Never mind. Okay. I was on a pun train there. I'm sorry. I'll get off of it. Now, he's the one. He says, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. You know what he wants us? He wants us to be approved unto God. He wants us to study. And to be a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of... That's a purpose. Hey, I just want to know what truth is. God, I want you to lead me and guide me into what is true. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to do it. You say, well, there are all kinds of religions and there are all kinds of churches out there that say they have the Holy Spirit. And I've even heard people say, well, the Spirit told me this, and the Spirit told me that. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 4. Again, we're trying to wrap up, in 2 minutes, to wrap up this thing. I'm still on point number one. You see how arduous this is for me? This is very difficult. Are you there? This is important. Beloved? Now, who do you suppose that is? Lost people? No. Saved people. Right? Beloved. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Little s spirit. Right? But try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the, capital S, that's important. And again, as much as I rag on grammar and English, pay attention to it. Just don't pay attention to all the exceptions, okay? Just this much, not this much. Okay. Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Hello? When was this written? A long time ago. So if it was in the world even then, guess where it still is? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember what it said about the Comforter? It said that they cannot receive him. They don't know him. He's not for them. He's for us. And he is guiding us into all truth. And we need to try the spirits. And we need to know what is truth. Again, it goes back to motive. What are you looking for when you study the Word of God? We need to have a purposeful time and a purpose for our study. Secondly, our study needs to not only be purposeful, but it needs to be powerful. And the only way that our study can be powerful is if it is of God and of His Word. If you try to do it in the flesh, it will fail. But if you do it in the Spirit, it will succeed. Do not leave out the Holy Spirit of God when you go about to study. It cannot be mechanical. It cannot just be purely academic. It needs to be a spiritual warfare. It needs to be powerful. We know the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We understand that living in the spirit is power and living in the flesh is weakness. We do not need to be studying in the carnal mind and in the wisdom of this world. We need to be doing it in the spirit. Now, let me just put a disclaimer here. I am not against commentaries. But if that's all you're looking after, you're in trouble. They're okay to look at. They're okay to consider. But why don't you go a little further and consider the life of the individual who you're reading after? Were they full of the Spirit of God or not? You say, well, how do I know? Well, I just told you that the Spirit of God is going to guide us into all truth. And a person's record speaks for themselves. But we need to be careful. And Paul said, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Did he not? So don't just take these things. Oh, well, this is a commentary in the scriptures. It must be true. Whoa. Hold on there. But I've heard this name mentioned, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah, but just be careful. And I'm not even going to mention any names. Because who am I necessarily to say if this guy, or this guy, or this guy, or this guy, or this guy? I'm just trying to tell you, make sure your study time is powerful. And it's got to be controlled and run by the Holy Spirit of God for it to be such. And I may also say to you, and I think I mentioned this last time, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And the Bible will not contradict itself where men will. We need to be careful. We know that the whole armor of God helps us to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not just part of it. Not just a portion of it. He says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be, there's a permission again, may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We know in Acts chapter 19, that it says about this thing that was happening and just the circumstances of the spreading of the gospel. And it says in verse 17 of chapter 19, it says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. But I like what this says. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. How can that happen? It's just an object. Is it? Is it just an object? So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know what swords do? They prevail. Yeah. Remember, it's sharper, piercing, cutting, doing a work, making progress, going forward, cutting through. Study. It's powerful. When you get alone with this book and you've surrendered and yielded your members to the Spirit of God and you've settled in your mind that you want to know there's some purpose in you, God will come through. And your study will be powerful. And guess what? You're not going to come up with a new religion. You've heard it said before, if it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, It ain't new. You think God is going to reveal to you something in the year 2022 that he didn't reveal to his disciples back then? What makes you so special? And he didn't reveal it to godly men and women over the last 2,000 years, but he's going to do it in you. Lucky you. Ain't going to happen. It needs to be powerful. And then lastly, it needs to be profitable. Do you remember back in our text here, we said that the, in verse 14, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. Study needs to be profitable. It's not just a time waster. It's not just a time filler. And it's not something just mechanical that we go through the motions and we say, okay, well, I'm gonna do a word study here. Or I'm gonna do a doctrinal study, and I just want to make sure what the preacher's saying is right, and I just want to keep him on his toes. All right, go ahead, see what you find. But it needs to be profitable. You know, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is profitable. He says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." A form of it. In other words, there was no real profit to their godliness, to their study, to their knowledge of God. He says, "For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts." Listen to this. "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Time out. Why? Why? We just read it. The Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, is for whom? Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The studying is of no profit. They're gathering knowledge and gathering knowledge and gathering knowledge. To what end? None. It's of no profit to them. We need to make sure that our study is profitable. He said, he goes on to give some examples. "Now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." But listen to this. "But thou," you believer, you child of God who has the Spirit that bears witness with your spirit that you are the children of God, you who has the Comforter, you who do know him because he shall be, or he's in you, and or he's with you and shall be in you, you know him, he's working in you, if you'll just listen and not quench him and yield your members to him. He says that we're supposed to continue in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then this verse that you're very familiar with. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." It's profitable. What is it profitable for? Doctrine. Doctrine.
Do you know why you believe what you believe? About God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, about sin, about salvation, about heaven, about hell. You say, well, that's, I'm a member of this church and that's what this church believes, so that's what I believe. Why? Why? It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof. You know what reproof is? This is wrong. That's what reproof is. This is sin. It outlines. It puts it in black and white. Do this. Don't do this. Stay away from this. Keep this or retain this. You know, go here. Don't go there. Dress like this. Don't dress like that. Talk like this. Don't. That's what it's just saying. This is what it is. Because, you know, God doesn't deal in gray areas. It's either light or darkness. So that's reproof. It's profitable for that. Hey, don't you want to know what pleases God and what doesn't? It's profitable for correction. You know what correction is? You are wrong. Not just this is wrong, but you're wrong. Folks, we all have things in our lives we need to get right. And as we study the Word of God, it's supposed to bring us closer to Him. It's supposed to conform us to His image. It's supposed to be the renewing of our minds, the changing of our reasoning and our thoughts, because we're becoming like Him. For instruction in righteousness. You know what that is? This is how you fix all of that stuff. This is how you walk in the way that's pleasing to me. This is how I want you to do it. You know, God doesn't just say, you know what? Here you go, man. Live. Good luck with that. Didn't just send this out into this world and say, well, I hope you all make it to the end. We'll see you at the judgment seat. What?
Judgment?
Judgment of what? You'll figure it out. No. No, I won't figure it out. Because the way of man is not in himself. We need to make sure that we're instructed. God wants us to know. He says, hey, I'm going to give it to you. Here it is. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. It's profitable. I don't have time tonight. But there are many other things in Scripture where it shows that studying the Word of God and finding God and His ways and His works are profitable to us. So this thing about study, it's pretty deep, isn't it? But we can do it. And we can do it well. And for a purpose, and empower, and to a profit. You understand? God wants us to be successful. He wants us to abound. He wants us to profit in these things. Not in earthly sense. Not in dollars and cents. Not in gold and not in material things. But in wisdom. And knowledge and understanding. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be complete. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He wants us to know all Scripture and for it to be profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Truly furnished unto all good works. Because we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God wants us to be successful in this command of study.